John chapter 1. The message today is Christ, the one of whom Moses wrote. A little different approach from similar reference that I gave you the other week. But in John chapter 1, look at verse 44. Now Philip was from Bethsaida, of the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip findeth Nathanael, and saith unto him, We have found him of whom Moses in the law and the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. These words, We have found him of whom Moses in the law wrote. Now chapter 5, Five thirty-nine. Search the Scriptures, because you think that in them you have eternal life, and these are they which bear witness of me. And you will not come to me, that you may have life. Notice, search the Scriptures. But now, we're going to narrow those Scriptures down. Look at verse 45. Think not that I will accuse you to the Father. There is one that accuseth you, even Moses, on whom you have set your hope. For if you believe Moses, you would believe me, for he wrote of me. But if you believe not his writings, how shall you believe my words? Please notice, Moses wrote of me. That's all we'll read for now. Let's speak to God again in prayer. Our Father, we are thankful for the unfolding of your great plan for mankind, the man who on earth says there is no God, who attributes this universe to nothing. But we are thankful that you have given us the Scriptures and guided us from before creation, at the beginning of creation, and from creation to this day, to the things that are contained in the Scriptures. We thank you for this. We are glad, our God, that we look upon them with reverence. We look upon them with trust, our God, because we have found out that your Son looked upon them in the same way, and we are to follow his steps, to believe what he did, to have the mind in us that was in Christ, whatever it might have been. So, our God, this day we pray that we shall learn something about this one of whom Moses wrote in the Scriptures. So help us by thy Spirit. We would not forget, our God, to pray a special prayer for those who have suffered such loss, and let us know the multitudes that are affected by this tragedy. But our God, thou hast told us that you are a very present help in trouble. And we pray that man that has been looking to himself and things other than the God who made him, that he shall understand the God in whose hand thy breath is, and whose are all thy ways hast thou not glorified. Let man understand that you are he who has their breath in your hand, and their ways are in your control. Our God, we are thankful for this. Thou art the God that hath done all things well, and we confess that it is with faith that we say this, because we are not able to understand it any more than Mary and Martha did when their brother Lazarus died. Lord, if you had been here, my brother had not died. But we are thankful that your Son did get there, And then they understood. And so for all of those who are wondering, our God, we pray that from this sorrow shall come revelation and an understanding of their Creator that they never had before. So help our nation, but particularly this day, since your Son has said that the lambs and the sheep are to be fed and the gospel is to be preached, we pray that this commandment should be carried out at this time. We confess our sins, be faithful and just to forgive and cleanse, and glorify the name of thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. When in John chapter 1, Nathanael was told, "We have found him of whom Moses wrote," and when our Savior said in John chapter 5, "Moses wrote of me," I told you in past weeks about one scripture, Deuteronomy chapter 18. That's a plain scripture that says that after my departure, God shall raise up another prophet like unto me. He does not say the prophet, but another prophet. And you'll find that ever so many prophets up until the time of Christ were like Moses to a greater or lesser degree or an equal degree, who spoke more of Christ than the prophet Isaiah. But speaking of Moses, and he wrote of me, if I challenge the disciples, you say you have found him of whom Moses wrote in the law. Well, where in the law does Moses write of Christ? If they were to say, why, in Deuteronomy 18, God is going to raise up another prophet like unto Moses, and this prophet is the Lord Jesus Christ, I will say, I accept that. Thank God. Could you tell me any other references in Moses that tells of Christ? And I venture to say that not one of them would be able to give you another reference of Moses writing about Christ. When you read commentaries by learned men, and they come to John 5, and read what our Savior says, Moses wrote of me, they simply say, yes, Moses wrote of Christ. It's an evident thing. The people should have known. What I look for is some of the references where Moses wrote of Christ, but I've never found in any of the commentators, any of them, that tell me about Moses writing of Christ other than the evident one in Deuteronomy 18. And now let me ask you, you give me some help. Tell me anywhere that Moses wrote of Christ other than Deuteronomy 18. It's embarrassing, isn't it? Because I venture to say that Moses himself, in the references I'm going to tell you about, when he was writing of Christ, was not aware that he was writing of Christ. And when the disciples read in the law of Moses, and the law of Moses consists of Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, Moses did not know it, neither did the disciples know that they were reading writings about Christ. So I've asked my brethren, and they do not know, and I've asked the commentators as I read their writings, and they do not know. So when the Savior says Moses wrote of me, he knows. So what I did is to go through all of the Gospel of John, looking for places where our Savior tells us that Moses wrote of him. And I wonder if you knew, And if you know those places that our Savior tells us Moses wrote of him, well, I will tell you. And the way he does it is a way that is so indirect, it is so obscure, that you would not realize that Moses was writing of Christ, and it would not register unless you thought it through with what Christ said in John chapter 5. Now, listen, and I will tell you. In John chapter 1, our Savior, when Nathanael confesses him as Rabbi, thou art the Son of God, thou art the King of Israel, our Savior says, do you believe because of this? He said, you shall see greater things than these. He said, you shall see the heavens opened and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. You say, what is he talking about? The angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. If you had read Genesis 28, you would understand that he is referring to the dream that Jacob had when he was running away from home to Paddan Aram because he had stolen the birthright from his brother Esau. And on the way, at what was later called Bethel, he took a stone and put it under his head, and he was sleeping. And as he slept, he had this dream, and he saw a ladder that reached from earth all the way to heaven, and at the top of that ladder was the Lord himself. And he saw angels ascending and descending upon that ladder. And then the Savior says, you shall see the heavens opened and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. Can you figure that out? You say, yes. That ladder that Jacob saw was a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Moses wrote of Christ. Yes. But how obscurely, how in a way that is hidden, I venture to say that Moses did not know that he was writing of Christ when he recorded that incident in the life of Jacob, seeing heavens open and angels of God ascending and descending upon the ladder. Because I've shown you that in 1 Peter chapter 1, it says that those people, those prophets that prophesied of Christ, when they did, they were searching the scriptures that they wrote, trying to find out who or when or what manner of time God had used them to prophesy about. What are all of these things? They had revelations from God, but they confessed that they did not understand the revelations that God had given them. And so they were searching their own scriptures. And I venture to say that Moses did not know that he was writing of Christ in that instance. Now, let me tell you another. And you see how Christ did not say, I'm telling you a reference in Moses' writings where he wrote of me. He simply mentioned something that spoke of him, and then you have to put it together and say, Moses wrote that in Genesis chapter 28. Moses is writing of Christ. Yes. All right. Next, he is talking to Nicodemus, and he says to him, you must be born again. And then he says this. He says, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Our Savior said, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness. You say, why? He's talking about the serpent being a picture of his being lifted up. Why, of course. You say, how remarkable. But I venture to say that when Moses made that serpent of brass, and we'll go into these things more in detail as we proceed, that Moses had no idea that when he made that serpent of brass and put it on a pole and lifted it up, that he was prophesying in type that the Lord Jesus Christ was going to be crucified, lifted up on the cross of Calvary. He had no idea of it, and I venture to say that the others who read the Old Testament had no idea that they were reading of Christ and Moses was writing of Christ. All right. Again, in John chapter 6, when our Savior has fed 5,000 and people come to him and they say to him, well, if you are telling us these things, give us a sign. Moses gave them bread out of heaven. And the Lord Jesus said, it was not Moses that gave you bread out of heaven. It is my Father that gives you bread out of heaven. He said, I am the bread of God who comes down out of heaven. So you say, why? He's talking about Exodus 16, when God rained down manna from heaven. Yes. And the Lord Jesus said, I am the bread of God that came down out of heaven. You say, well, it's simple now. Well, of course Moses wrote of Christ. He wrote about him when he wrote about that ladder to heaven. And he wrote about him when Moses lifted up that serpent in the wilderness. And he wrote about him when the manna came down from heaven. Yes, now that I've told you, you understand. And the only reason I understand is because my Savior told me. So what you have to do when a statement is made and you look in vain for your fellow man to help you, and you think and you are not able to grasp it, keep reading what Christ said, and he will give you light. And so our Savior has given us three references. Now, there are so many more that I can tell you about, but I am limiting myself to these three because they are indisputable, as others I will tell you about in the will of God at some time. They are indisputable also, but they are not the ones that issued from the lips of Christ himself. And so I will only hold you to three and give you this key in interpreting the scriptures, that our Savior, when he says that people write about me, Moses in the law and in the prophets, we are not to look for plain statements about Christ alone. Why, yes, it's evident that Christ was that prophet like unto Moses. That's a plain statement. But when dreams are given in the Bible, when experiences are had in the Bible, when a kindness of God is bestowed upon Israel in the Bible, if we are illumined by the Spirit of God and have read what Christ himself said about the writings of Moses and the prophets, then we'll be able to understand. But now he's given me a key. I am not only to look in the Bible to find Christ in plain statements, but I am to look for types and historical events and acts of God, because in all of these ways, Moses is recording, and therefore Moses is writing of Christ. And men say, why, that is not acceptable. How strange. When Christ, the Son of God, tells you that this is Moses writing of me, that is not acceptable. How strange. I refuse to accept these types. Well, then, you refuse the interpretation that the Lord Jesus himself gave concerning the writings of Moses. And when that happens, if you reject Christ and his interpretations, then you have destroyed the foundations, and there is no stability. There is no way that you can grasp when Moses is writing of Christ. But this opens up an area of the Bible and an understanding of the Bible and an abundance of truth concerning Christ that we never would have known about had we been looking for plain statements about Moses' writing of Christ. You get plain statements like this. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Now that's what I like to look for. I'm looking for those statements. But they are not in Moses the way that they are in Isaiah. And Christ is telling you that as God directed Isaiah to reveal his son the way that I just quoted this scripture, he is directing Moses to reveal his son in the threefold way that our Savior himself has told us about in chapter 1, in chapter 3, and in chapter 6 of John. And since God is revealing truth to us that way, we accept the way that God reveals truth to us and do not say, well, we don't like to read about Christ that way. I'm looking for plain statements. God reveals his son the way he wants to. It's like this. When the Lord Jesus came from heaven, and it says, no man hath seen God at any time, the only begotten Son who is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. Well, let me hear how he declares him. It says from Psalm 78, quoted in Matthew 13, that he will speak in parables. He is a speaker of parables. And people don't like that. They don't want him to speak in parables. Speak to us plainly. But God said, my son is going to speak to you in parables. And what we have to do is this. To set aside what we think God should have done, and to grasp what God has done, and to accept it, and to realize that the only way that we're going to understand about the Lord Jesus Christ is to look for him, in addition to plain statements, in parables, in types, in shadows, in historical events, in persons. We have to find Christ that way. And when you find Christ that way, then you understand Christ in all the scriptures. If the way that man would hold us to, Christ here and there in the scriptures. But Christ is in all the scriptures. And even he would be held to this. Lord, I want you to show me where Moses wrote of you. In the Pentateuch, show me. The Lord Jesus himself would be held to the scriptures that he himself told Nathanael, and told Nicodemus, and told those Israelites that were challenging him to give them a sign from heaven. So resolve in your heart, I shall accept the way that God reveals his son to me, and I shall look for those ways, even though it is difficult, and I have to pray to God by his Spirit to reveal these things to me, but I shall look, and then when I see them, I will be doubly blessed, because he not only tells me plainly, but he tells me in types and in parables and in shadows as well. So let's look and just see from these three how Moses is writing of Christ. First of all, if you had to get to heaven, how could you possibly get there? If God told you, you want to go to heaven, all right, you may go to heaven. Now, go. How would you get there? No way you can get there. If it is possible that spiritually we are accepted in heaven, it has to be that an angel is sent to take us there, or the Lord Jesus himself is sent from heaven with a shout and takes us there. There's no way you can get there. The gap between earth and heaven is insurmountable. It cannot be breached. But in Genesis chapter 28, Jacob is having a dream, and he is on earth, and he looks, and he sees this long ladder set upon the earth, and it reaches all the way to heaven, and at the top of that ladder, the Lord is there. That's a wonderful thing. Then, what man cannot breach, the Lord Jesus can breach, because the distance between earth and heaven, sinful man and God, there is no way to get there. But if you have a chasm, and there is a ladder across that chasm, then you can walk over that ladder to the other side. And if you're not able to get to heaven, but God has a ladder that reaches from earth to heaven, you can climb that ladder and arrive at the top. Because God has reduced the size. Why? Because, why, you can't even with your natural eye see some of the stars. And God is in his heaven far beyond the stars. But however great the distance between earth and heaven, and how great the distance between God and man since sin has come into the world, the Lord Jesus said, I am that ladder. And Jacob, and I'm so thankful for this, he said, why, this is the gate to heaven. This is the dwelling place of God. And so he tells us that there is a gate to heaven, and there is a ladder from earth to heaven, and he says, why, I'm going to call this place Bethel, which is the house of God. So our hearts can now be at rest. Why? Because the gap, because of sin that was created, that separates man from God, his creator, it now has a ladder that covers that distance. And the Lord Jesus said, and this is what is of great importance, it says in Genesis 28 that Jacob saw a ladder reaching to heaven. If you read in John chapter 1, you will never read about the word ladder. But the Lord Jesus says, you shall see the heavens opened and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. And so to make sure that we do not miss it, he doesn't even put the word ladder there. He substitutes himself for that ladder. And so what Jacob saw was a ladder. And the Lord Jesus said, what you should see in that ladder is to see me. And so the communication that was cut off, all messages from God, all approach to God, any possibility of fallen man separated from God ever getting back again, the Lord Jesus said, I am greater than Jacob's ladder because I cover the distance from earth to heaven. And not only that, but these angels who are messengers of God, who are servants of God, they ascend and descend upon me. Then it is through Jesus Christ that God tells us anything and God isn't able to do anything for us. It is through Jesus Christ, the ladder, that sinful men distance from God, they are able to go to God again. And Moses wrote of me. But who, and I confess this, when the Savior said, search the scriptures for you, these are they that testify of me, and they testify of me and you will not come to me. I confess that I do not see how anyone that was listening to Christ, unless he had a special divine revelation, could have found him in these scriptures for this reason. Even John the Baptist, his forerunner, confessed this. He said, now, there is a man on earth, God's promised Messiah. He said, I did not know him. I did not know who he was. He said, but God said, this is the way you're going to find out who he is. He said, upon whomsoever you see the Spirit descending and abiding, this is he. And so it wasn't John the Baptist knowing the scriptures that pointed him to Christ that could have. And he knew of scriptures. I'll tell you about that in the will of God eventually. But what it was the heavens being opened and the Spirit of God descending as a dove out of heaven and abiding upon Christ. And the Father said to John, this is my beloved Son. But what God expects of others that are seeking the Lord, he expects them to have read in the scriptures at least Deuteronomy 18 and to understand that there is no prophet ever more than Christ who was like unto Moses, who was divinely raised up, whom he sent to the children of Israel. Now, understand that each time Christ gives a type, a picture, it presents man in a specific need. And here, there is that gap between God and man, earth and heaven, and Christ is the ladder that fills that gap. Nothing there about his death. Simply, he is the one that joins together earth and heaven. But when you come to the second picture in John chapter 3, he said, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Here is man in his sin, because you'll find that this is taken from the writings of Moses, from Numbers chapter 21, when Israel was complaining, murmuring against God, and God sent fiery serpents among them, and they bit the people, and the people were dying. And Moses prayed to God, and God gave him the solution. He said, you make a brazen serpent, and you put it on a pole, and you lift it up. And whosoever looks upon that brazen serpent upon the pole, when he looks, he shall be healed. You say, isn't that remarkable? Here is man with venom, the venom of sin, ultimately resulting in death in him, and he's going to die, hopelessly die, unless God has a remedy. And that remedy is his only begotten Son, as a serpent lifted up on a pole. And this was the only requirement, look and live. And so, the important point is this, and this thrills my heart, that our Savior is he who had read the law of Moses. And when he was reading in Genesis chapter 28, and he read about that ladder that Jacob saw in a dream, the Lord Jesus was able to say, I am that ladder. He saw it as a man. And when he read about Moses lifting up that brazen serpent on the pole in the wilderness, he said, I am that serpent that has to be lifted up on the pole in the wilderness. How touching that Jesus Christ had read these things and seen them and foreseen the good he would do the man, but at the same time, the sufferings that were entailed if he fulfilled all these scriptures. So these are some helps that might enable you to understand how Moses wrote of Christ. Time is gone. Let us pray. Our Father, we are thankful for the difficult things of the Scriptures as well as the simple things. And we are so glad that if they are difficult, if we humble ourselves before Thee and seek Your help, then Your Son will come to our rescue. He did that as sinners to save us. And he does it also as the one who guides us. He himself on earth explained the scriptures when his disciples came and said, explain unto us the parable. The Lord Jesus explained it. And we're thankful that now that he's gone back to heaven, he has sent the Holy Spirit from heaven, and he will bring to our remembrance and guide into all truth the things concerning Jesus Christ. And so we thank you, Father, for Christ found in the writings of Moses, and we pray that we shall now know how to find them and look upon them and rejoice and come to Christ, receive him, because Moses wrote of him. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, we pray. Amen. The meeting is over.